Welcome back to That Girl's Going Places. If you are brand new, my name is Marin, and I am so excited for today's episode. I know I say that every single time, but especially today, I have someone who a lot of you actually probably know, and she is one of the strongest people I know. I am absolutely one of the luckiest girls to be able to know her, and I mean, I've known you for like 6 years now. I don't actually know how long it's been.
So long. I couldn't
like,
even tell
so
you.
So long. Anyway, it's very Lindsay. I didn't even say, I have my friend Lindsay on today, like the most badass girl ever. And truly, like, I feel like the universe brought you into my life and I've learned so much from you. And you just like, you're one of my favorite people ever. So of course I had to bring you on the pod because everyone else deserves to have a little Lindsay in their day. And yeah, I'm so excited. So introduce yourself. And then also something that I'm starting with the guests that I bring on is just asking them to share a little manifestation at the moment, kind of in relation to the title, That Girl's Going Places, Where Are You Going at the Moment? There you go. Go for it.
First of all, Marin, that was the most amazing intro ever.
You so deserve
thank
you it.
Thank you. So my name is Lindsay. I have known Marin for the longest time. It seems like everything we do, we just
legit.
Run into each other.
Legit.
Everything. I am a senior with her in high school, and we're both getting ready to move on to college and all
Finally.
Those exciting things. Yeah. For right now, I don't have the grand scheme of life figured out, but I just see myself appreciating the little things and those little wonders of life that you may not recognize day to day, but you look back and you appreciate all those little special moments and the connections you make.
I love that. I'm telling you already, if you've listened, this is like not even the first 5 minutes of the episode. You can see how amazing of a person Lindsay is. Like, you're literally the most insightful human being I know. And like, that was, we'll get more on this later. That was pre-cancer. That was pre-anything. Like, you've always been this way. And every single conversation I have with you, I leave feeling inspired. So I like can't wait to have a full conversation.
Oh my gosh.
Today.
Thank you.
Truly, truly, truly. So like I mentioned, and I know this is I don't want to call it a part of your identity, but I do think that it has probably, I'm guessing, been an experience that has shaped your life for both positive and negative outcomes. You were diagnosed with cancer. Last year? Is that right?
Yeah, it was March of 2020. Yep.
Yes. So,
and it's definitely not my identity, but it's a big part of my story. I always like to say that cancer doesn't define me.
For sure.
I kind of define what cancer means to me.
Yeah, I love that. And I completely agree. I think like you weren't a different person after having cancer. It just brought out like this side of you and has affected your outlook. Anyway, I'm putting words
exactly.
In your mouth.
Yeah, no, that's spot on.
So give us the timeline, how it all went down, like how you felt through that process and kind of where you are today with that story of being diagnosed with cancer and beating it. Let me put that out there too. Go for it.
So in March of 2019, I started having shoulder pain, and I'm a super active person, whether it's sports, cycle classes, anything I'm doing usually involves exercise. So there was always something to kind of blame the pain on. And I'm also very much a just suck it up, keep going person. So I was in a sling for a couple of weeks in October. Then the sling wasn't doing anything. So I just decided to stop wearing it, move on, keep going. Then over winter break, we were in California. We were golfing a lot and it started to really hurt again. But we just blamed it on the golf. And then March, when we were getting ready for lacrosse season, my arm was in so much pain. I really couldn't move it. I would wake up and just be in excruciating pain. No ice, Tylenol, anything would help. So I finally went in again to the doctor March 10th. and got an x-ray where they saw dense bone, which can be from a lot of things. But on the MRI I had that day, they found some very concerning things. And this doctor I've had since I was 4, whether it's broken collarbone, broken leg, he's been there for everything. So March 12th, 2 days later, I went in for my biopsy. And that's also when the world was shutting down for COVID. So I kind of missed that last week of craziness at school. And then the biopsy showed that I had cancer. And on March 18th, I was diagnosed with osteosarcoma of the right humerus. And osteosarcoma is a pretty rare cancer. About 400 to 500 kids get diagnosed with it each year. So if you think about your favorite sports league, like NHL, MLB, whatever it may be, there are more people in those leagues than have my cancer each year. Yeah. So very rare. Yeah, it was just kind of all a whirlwind because the hospital was really empty. So everything was moving really quickly. Like 2 days later, I had all my tests. And then March 23rd, I started chemo. So it's just really one into the other.
Yeah, that's like crazy that also simultaneously the entire world was like, we've never seen it before. And your life was how you've never seen it before. Like I can't even imagine.
It was just all those things rolled into one. Like, yes, it was crazy with COVID, but you know, my doctors and nurses like to joke, and I like to joke that I really timed it perfectly.
You did.
Because with, yeah.
You did.
I just planned that so perfectly. So with school online and everything, I would just do it at the hospital, and that was terrible. 0 out of 10, would not recommend doing it. But anyone who knows me knows that I'm a very competitive, determined person.
Oh, yeah.
So my nurses would tell me, oh, take the day off from school, relax. No, the fact that someone didn't think I could do it was enough reason for me to prove that I could do it.
You give Lindsay a challenge, she's not just going to do it. She's going to like do it to 200% capacity and do it the best it's ever been done. So insert online school at the hospital being done the best it's ever done. So,
right.
Yeah.
It was also nice because it wasn't nice to have cancer, but having a lot of my treatment over the summer and my limb salvage surgery over the summer, because I had to have my shoulder replaced and cadaver bone put in to replace where the tumor was, and 2 metal rods, 2 plates, and I think like somewhere between 18 to 27 screws. So there's a lot of scrap metal in there.
Yeah. But how do you get through like TSA, girl? Like, do you...
Oh, it's an interesting process. They kind of just pat you down. They kind of give you a strange look. Like, what do you mean you had your shoulder replaced? I'm like, buddy, look at the scar. Like this,
this I can't make this shark. Up.
Yeah, I swear this was a real thing.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Also, like, can we just take a second? This is Lindsay's outlook all the time. She's not putting on a show or jokes for the podcast. I'm telling you, this is why she's one of my favorite people ever, if not my favorite person ever, because you just live life this way. It's like, honestly, like, I would be the same as the nurses, like, take a day off, girl, or like, you know, be in your feels if you need to. I feel like you're just always, your outlook is incredible. And it makes me have such better perspective on life, that like you roll with the punches and you were just so that kind of girl. And it's amazing. And I applaud you for that. And I hope that you also let yourself off the hook, like maybe 10% of the time.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it was very interesting because a lot of people didn't understand my personality at the hospital at first. You know, they were like, you take some time off, go home, take a couple days off before your next chemo cycle, because every time I would go in to the hospital, I would be there for at least 4 to 5 days, usually a week or longer. And it just, it's not, I made a promise to myself, like, cancer, I know, changed physically everything about me inside and out. But the one thing that I knew I had absolute control over was my mental state of mind. And I just knew that I'm a very positive person, you know, through everything. And I just was not going to let a thing like cancer change that. I was taking full control over that and pushing everything aside and continuing with my strength and my positive attitude, and just knowing that, yes, I'm a 17, at the time I was a 17-year-old who had this challenge, but that's all it was. It was just a challenge, and it was a challenge I knew I could overcome.
I just got chills. I literally, I'm going to listen to this back and probably start crying. Or if not by the end of the episode, but that's fine. You do that to me often in very happy tears. But it's like a thing that has happened before. So now fast forward, you've gone through chemo, the summer, all of your surgeries, everything. You make it to, I believe, was it December 15th? December 15th.
It was December 15th.
Yeah.
Yes.
It also happened to be the day I was supposed to get my BU decision. So like that is a day ingrained in my head. Yeah. Take us through that day. Like I can't even imagine what a thrill that day was for you.
I just like, I'm tearing up thinking about it. It is just the most surreal thing, because I would be in clinic getting my port accessed, which is where I'd get all my chemo, all my blood draws through. And I would hear the bell ringing and think, you know, like, I know one day that's going to be me, but it just feels like that day is getting further and further away. You know, as positive as I am, there's that little thing in me that was like, okay, everyone else is doing it. Like, when is it my turn? And everyone at my family had the gift of spending their birthday at the hospital. Mm-hmm. For my mom's, it was my second round of chemo. For my dad's, it was my limb salvage surgery. And for mine, it was one of my worst chemos ever. So my brother's birthday happens to be December 15th. And we were like, okay, my brother's name is PJ. We're like, PJ, you're bringing the good vibes with you for your birthday.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to do this. So we walk in, and because of COVID, my brother was never allowed to visit me at the hospital. Mm-hmm. So the first time he was at the hospital was the day I was diagnosed. And then the next time he went was the day I rang the bell. So I had my scans and everything, and they all came back looking clear and great. And just, I can just picture, I have a video of it where we're just like dancing, waiting in the room. And one of my nurses comes in and goes, okay, we're ready. And just, it's just like, there are pictures. I'm sitting at my desk, there are pictures all over my desk, one with me with my arms up saying I did it after I rang the bell. And I don't like to talk about winning my battle, because to me that implies that other people lost. I think you beat cancer by how you live and how you take on this challenge. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people passed away on the floor when I was in my fight. So ringing that bell was not just me saying, okay, I'm done with chemo, like I'm moving on to the next chapter. It was ringing it for the people who never got the chance to.
I'm literally tearing up, and I think you are too right now. Like, you, I know this is audio for everyone else, but like, we're on a Zoom, and I'm like overwhelmed with emotion. Let me collect myself. And for those of you who don't know, just Lindsay, explain like the whole bell thing. Obviously I know, and I think other people know, but what that symbolizes for you.
So when you ring the bell, it's called the end of chemo bell. And every bell has this little plaque or picture. And for me, my dad took a picture of the bell the first day I was diagnosed. And that's how I like told the world I had cancer. I like put that picture of the bell and said, I can't wait. And that's, you ring the bell when you're done with chemo. So the bell, all the bells in America, at least, I don't know if they have them in other countries, but it says, ring this bell 3 times well. This is told to clearly say, this course is run, my time is done, this course is run, and I'm on my way. Something like that. Very similar. Yeah, it was a long time ago, and it was a huge blur. But you ring the bell, and you walk out, and you're done with chemo.
Yeah.
And you hope and pray that you only do it once and that you get to do it once.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't even empathize. That's something I can only sympathize with. I don't think I've ever had an experience in my own life of that much like emotional charge to it. I mean, I've even in the pictures that you've shown me, and I remember you the week before an advisory, like your disposition and the emotions like attached to that event are so strong. And now you explaining it to me even more now, like how it's not just your bell to ring, how it's not just a fight to be won. Like it is so representative of an entire community and fight internally, and how you've taken on or not taken on the challenges of cancer. And it's, yeah, it's just literally amazing to me. I'm at a loss for words. And I hope people watch that video. I'm going to have you like send it to people who want it, because it will make your day. It literally will make your day.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. It's just, one of my close friends, his dad passed away earlier this year due to complications of cancer. And I remember finding out that I was going to ring the bell and immediately texting him and saying, I'm ringing this bell for your dad too, because he didn't get the chance to. And it's just little things like that where at the end, I really was tired of fighting for myself. I was physically sick, physically drained, mentally drained, everything. I just didn't want to do it anymore. But I had those people that I needed to keep fighting for. And I fought for them at the end because I was just ready to quit fighting for myself.
Yeah. Wow. And you've always been that way too. That was not like this experience made you selfless. You literally have always been that way. There has never been a day where I have known you where I feel like you wouldn't jump in front of a train for any of the people you love, truly. I mean, you have always been that way, and that just came to fruition for everyone to see and appreciate. And I really respect that about you, how selfless you are and how literally you would do anything for those people that you love. So I love you for that.
Thank you for that.
You are so welcome. So that is the background history, but that, again, as we were saying, not your identity, way more to Lindsay than just this story. So I want to touch on obviously the thing that we share the most in common, which is exercise, insert cycling, insert weights, insert moving your body just to feel really good all the time. Lindsay and I are all about it. She's the only other girl who I would come to school and we had both taken a 6 a.m. cycling class. There are very few people, okay? I would come in and she'd be like, did you go to SoulCycle this morning? I'd be like, yeah, did you go spinning this morning?
I would come into advisory still brushing my hair, total mess, and I would take that 25 minutes and really collect myself for the day.
Yes. And I'd be like, Lindsay, can I use your deodorant? Like, I still smell bad.
Yeah. we would take that time to get ready.
Yeah, that would be like decompress. Like, well, where am I? I need to like
you're get back still into riding my body. That adrenaline from the class.
Yeah. So clearly Lindsay and I have the shared love for that. So I know you're an active person and I know that's changed over the past year, your activity levels, your modes of exercise. So pre-cancer, how active would you say you were? And what was the role that exercise played in your life then versus, obviously during cancer, that is a huge change. And then afterwards, how has your relationship with exercise changed over that time?
So for me, my pre-cancer life, and I'm very much the same person, but it's physically, there are a lot of differences. That's just the nature of it. But exercise was my whole life. I would wake up, go work out in the morning, go to school all day, have lifting after school, and then go home for a little, and then go back and have lacrosse practice, open gym, intramural lacrosse. I would work out all the time. And it was honestly the best thing that I could possibly do for myself, because before school, I needed that release to just get the day with a fresh start. If I didn't work out before school, my friends could obviously tell, because I was just such a different person.
I'm the same way. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the time for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. And as hard as our lifting or conditioning may have been through Nutrier Strength, it was amazing to build those bonds with your teammates. And, you know, sometimes you're lifting with like other teams and, you know, just getting in that competitive mindset and really just enjoying your day. And, you know, sometimes I would be so charged up that I would come home from like my 7th hour of working out and I would have to go on a run to calm myself down. It was my whole life and I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It was crazy, but it worked for me, whether that was playing lacrosse, lifting, conditioning, cycle classes, bar classes, whatever, I was doing it and I loved it. Obviously, a lot changed when I was diagnosed with cancer. I mean, you're just so physically and mentally drained. You have no control over what's happening with your body. All I wanted to do was get up, go work out, go on a run. And I would walk out of, I would stand up out of my bed and collapse to the floor because I just didn't have the energy to do that. I wanted to go on walks, but I didn't have the energy. Anything that I knew my body could do before, it couldn't do at that time. And that was so incredibly frustrating because I knew that I used to be able to do it.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do it then.
Mm-hmm.
And also like with chemo, your muscles can't, they can't build. I lost, I was a super muscular person, like big muscles, whatever. That's who I was. And it was totally fine. I'd always known myself as someone who was physically and mentally very strong. And when that physical strength is taken away for like nothing that I did wrong, it just happened to me, unfortunately. It was so hard to get the mental strength to say, okay, this is only temporary. And then now, because of my surgery and my shoulder replacement, I can't do lacrosse. That was my absolute worst day of treatment. It wasn't losing my hair or, you know, any of the chemos, my partial paralysis, none of that. It was the day my doctor sat me down and told me that after my surgery, I could not play lacrosse again.
Yeah.
And hearing him say that, I held it together in the office, in the doctor's office, and I got in the car and my parents were both with me. They're like, what do you think? I'm like, I don't know what to think. I was like, I just want to talk about it. I just want to get home. And then I just lost it. It was, my doctor told me I wouldn't be able to play lacrosse. I wouldn't be able to lift more than 10 pounds. And that I wouldn't be able to lift my arm over 90 degrees. So obviously the lacrosse is a permanent thing. He wasn't sure that I'd be able to pass and catch or shoot. He actually didn't have a lot of faith that I would be able to. And obviously, you know, someone tells me I can't do something, so I do it. Mm-hmm. So the lacrosse thing, obviously I can't play, but I'm still able to be a part of my team and I can warm up and I can shoot and I can lift more than 15 pounds. My arm can go 110 now instead of 90. So it's just those little limitations that people put on me that I'm like, okay, I know what I need to do to reach that goal. Now I got to figure out like how we're going to get that and how we're going to make it achievable.
Yeah. I think for anyone listening, and I'm sure you feel this in abundance now, it makes me feel very, it makes me remember to not take things for granted, that I think I often do. And a lot of people do, speaking for myself, this is not like a, yay, I can do this. You know, but like cycling, like if that was taken away, that would break me. And that's something that's not just, something that I have naturally and that I can't take for granted. And I think everyone has something like that where, especially in light of a pandemic, you really realize how much your health is a privilege and something that is not guaranteed. And
of course.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for me, that changes my perspective a lot. And I hope I can use that to reflect, and everyone listening can use that to reflect too on those parts of your life that we so often are, you know, not, we say we have to do, like we have to go work out or have to get this done, where in reality is it is such a privilege and something that you're not guaranteed. And if your body is able to move that way and has the privilege of being healthy to move that way, then, you know, I'd be doing it for someone like you 6 months ago where you had trouble getting up, and, you know, I'll be doing it for you, thinking that was Lindsay, mm-hmm. where all she would have wanted was for me to go to SoulCycle and live vicariously through that class. And so, you know, I just think about that for myself.
Yeah, it's a, you get to do it.
Yeah. And I think so often, especially fitness, especially exercise, is such a, you have to, or you're doing it to look a certain way. I mean, you already know how I feel about this. I talk about this all the time, but it is so not about a look. It is so about a feeling, and it is a privilege to get that feeling at the end of a workout. And it definitely puts things in perspective for me personally. So thank you for sharing.
I really never want anyone to know what my experience was like. Yeah. It's important that they try to understand so that they can appreciate everything that they have, you know, whether not physical, materialistic objects, but just that health and those little things that you don't realize you have until they're gone. But I know cancer's a terrible thing, and it affects us all one way or the other, whether it's your neighbor or, you know, you personally have it.
Yeah. I know you touched on this a little bit, and I think this is something interesting to bring up on this podcast, where I do talk about body image a lot. And usually it's in a, you know, everyone who comes on will just talk about their stories. I think your influence with body image is interesting to me because it was so out of your control. And I know you were mentioning how hard it was to reflect on your body and see it not be able to do things that it was so easily able to do in the past, and how that affected you, maybe positively or negatively. Did you feel stronger, less strong? Did it fluctuate? Just kind of the experience of having something drain you physically on your own body image.
I think a lot of people think, okay, cancer, you lose your hair. That's the hardest part. And really, when I was diagnosed, I had my hair in a braid, and I took it out immediately. And I was like, oh my gosh, all my brown, long, curly hair mm-hmm. is going to fall out. What am I going to do? Like, this is going to be the worst thing ever. Spoiler alert, it was not. That was really just, you know, that happened at the beginning, 2 weeks into chemo. You know, once it fell out, it was out. Nothing I could do. So there's that. And obviously that was hard because I've always had long brown curly hair, and to go from that to no hair at all, it was crazy. Mm-hmm. But there were times and still are times where I would just feel betrayed by my body. Mm-hmm. And definitely going through chemo, I was not thinking of all the strength that it took for me to wake up, to get out of bed, to do all the things that, you know, I would see as like normal. It really wasn't until the end when I was talking with my psychologist about, you know, the mental effects that treatment can have on you, not just PTSD and anxiety or whatever, but realizing all the strength it took for me to get up and go on a walk, because I knew that would help get some of the chemo out of my system or make me feel better. It was the little things when people would tell me that I was super strong and brave. You know, obviously that meant a lot, but I didn't see that in myself. Mm-hmm. I just saw it as something that I had to do. I had to keep pushing. And like I said, it wasn't until the end when I really realized, like, oh, that was a crap ton of work. Like, yeah, that was,
it was a workout in itself, girl. Like, yeah.
Like, literally laying in bed and just being able to take a deep breath was a ton of work.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it just because I was so much in the, like, keep your head down, keep grinding through, keep going, don't stop. Because as soon as I stopped and looked back, I was like, oh my God, like, what did I just go through? That was insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm proud of you for taking a step back and acknowledging how freaking strong you were. I mean, I know maybe before then strong was waking up at 6 a.m. and going to cycling and then lifting after school.
Right.
And maybe strong then just took a different definition. And I, I think that is applicable to other senses for everyone to really taking a moment to respect what your body's doing for you at all times, even on the days where it can't push to go lift weights, you know, just working and functioning all the time and keeping you alive is a lot of hard work. And I think respecting your body for that and accepting it and appreciating all that it's doing for you is a great thing to do, especially in relation to body image, really focusing on what it's able to do rather than what it looks like. I know has made a difference for me and probably you too. So
beautifully said, Marin. Beautifully
said. Thank you. It's almost a year late. Well, it is. It's a little bit over a year later.
Yeah.
So this has been a year out of, 18 years. That's kind of actually a large chunk. Do you think, again, not your identity, I've never seen you as Lindsay with cancer. It's Lindsay. Like, it's just you.
Right.
This is a part of your story, but it's not your story. Do you think, though, there are things now in your everyday life that are different for you afterwards versus how you were before?
Totally. Both. Yeah, just it's kind of crazy because it was definitely a gradual change. Like, I'm very much the same person, but I just have such a greater appreciation for life itself. And I talk about this all the time, but the little wonders of life, like waking up and seeing that sparkle in your eye, or going and hugging your friend, or being able to get out of bed and walk to the bathroom instead of collapsing on the floor. Yeah. It's really all those little things, like having, the physical aspect, like having eyebrows, being able to have tone muscles, because that's something I really like. It's appreciating those. And it doesn't have to be like waking up and saying 10 things you're grateful for, but maybe just like taking a step back during the day. And like, I do this in school when I'm in a math test or whatever. I'm like, man, this sucks. This is hard. I don't know what the heck's going on. And I just take a step back and go, I am so grateful to be in this classroom and be with my friends. And sure, I might not know what's going on, but I'm here. And that's what matters most. And just appreciating the fact that I was able to get up, get ready, drive to school, go be with my friends. It was crazy going back to school and seeing people that, the last time they saw me, I was with long hair and pre-cancer and,
pre-pandemic.
Pre-pandemic, everything. It was wild. And meeting new people this year and seeing some of my teachers, I had freshman or sophomore year and they didn't know I was sick and they would compliment me on my haircut. It was wild.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of physical things that I have with me to just remind myself of how grateful I am. Like in my room, I have cards for my nurses and pictures of me with my friends from the 17th floor, which was where I always stayed. Yes, I have my scars and I think they are the coolest thing I own.
Oh, they are. They're so badass.
I worked so damn hard for them.
Oh, yeah.
So no chance I'm hiding them.
That, let me tell you, when people say like big muscles shows strength, no. You've never seen, no. That is a sign of strength, girlfriend, okay? No muscle growth is going to prove to me how strong you are, okay? Just putting that out there. Yeah.
And this is not a little scar. I have 3 scars from cancer that are of substantial size, and I will never hide them. I just think they're
damn straight. The coolest thing. Yeah.
And they're just little things I do throughout the day, whether it's remembering one of my friends who passed, or, you know, getting texts from the little kids' parents saying they're trying out a new thing since their diagnosis, or their first time playing soccer since being cancer free. All those little things that just, you know, kind of gives you that extra push to keep going through your day.
Yeah. Wow. I literally have no words. I told you this is how this podcast episode would go. I knew this is how it was going to go. I was going to be emotional and speechless by the end. And that's just, I knew that was going to happen. And here we are. Lo and behold, I'm emotional and speechless by the end. I'm going to listen back and take hella notes and literally put like post-it notes up on my wall of what you said, because your reminders, like, I need a Lindsay voice in my head at all times, truly. Everything that you said today really hit home for me and is going to change the course of my day, the course of my week, the course of my life, 100%. You are a life changer for me. I know you're a life changer for many other people, and I don't use that term lightly. And I'm so, so, so grateful for you and grateful to have you inspire me and everyone who just listened to however long this was, the past 30 minutes of your day. And I just love you so much. And I'm so proud of you.
I love you, Marin.
I'm so lucky to be friends with you, Lindsay. Truly, I mean that.
Right back at you. You're the best.
Thank you for coming on. Love you too. With that, I will conclude today's episode. Thank you so, so much for listening, as always. If you did enjoy listening today, please leave a rating or subscribe to That Girl's Going Places wherever you listen to podcasts. It would really support me. And feel free to reach out at That Girl's Going Places podcast on Instagram with any questions that you have for a future Q&A segment, or with any topic requests for future episodes. I love you all so much. I will talk to you again in the next episode, and I really hope that you have an amazing day.